I wouldn't say that you have rested, because I know that, you know, a recess means something else, you know, to members. Now of late, it's not really in the sense of recess. I know it's just recess from being absent from Parliament, but working very hard wherever we are. That is why I say I wouldn't say you have rested. As you will all remember, that we agreed that we will have this workshop so that we have more time to ourselves in dealing with these, reports that we were not able to exhaust when we dealt with. It's just unfortunate that we are not, you know, all here, but due to, you know, unforeseen circumstances, other members could not make it. Nevertheless, we don't need a quorum, because this is a workshop. We will continue, but I will then allow the committee secretary to share the apologies with us.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, members. I've got apologies from Honorable Ditetelo. She's observing the election in Zimbabwe, and she'll be back only on the 2nd of August. Honorable Fake, who is attending the oversight visit with the PC on Sports and Recreation. Honorable Kekane is also with PC on Communication. Honorable Drage, she is not well, so she won't be able to attend. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the apologies. I hope that we do accept the apologies. And then without further notice, Honorable Mori, you have requested that you'll be in and out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I will leave at 12, the latest.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Our meeting will go as far, but we will try and see if we can, you know, fast track it so that we really don't have to be here until 4 o'clock, if possible. Without wasting a lot of time, I will then hand over to the researchers to take us through. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. To start off with, for today, we're covering three sets of issues. Two reports, going through the quarterly reports from the department, and then dealing with minutes. What we will start off with is the oversight report that was done in March. The reason for that is it covers issues related to the turnaround strategy and some of the key input that we received from the minister and officials about the department. And we thought that would be a good starting point, because it kind of reflects on a closure for the 2012-13 financial year. And then after that, we'll proceed with the quarterly reports looking at women, children, and persons with disabilities, as opposed to trying to do it the other way around. The two are definitely linked. So the idea is that as we go through issues, we can note questions and observations and additions, which for sure, when we look at the quarterly reports, those issues can be linked and noted. I'm going to share the presentation with Crystal, just because there's so much that we have to cover. So the report is titled Draft Report of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Children, and People with Disabilities, on the oversight visit to the offices and workshop with the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities from 26th to 28th March 2013. Have all members have a copy of that particular report with you now. Okay. So starting then on page one, it covers a bit of background as to the importance of the turnaround strategy, why was that developed, the objectives of the workshop that the department had with the committee was to discuss the implementation of the turnaround strategy, to engage with the four key policies, which is around mainstreaming, advocacy, institutional support and capacity building, as well as monitoring and evaluation, as well as C, to review the department's progress for all four quarters. The intention for that one-day workshop in March with the department was literally to cover all of that. Turnaround strategy, the policies, as well as look at the performance in relation to the quarterly reports. As we turn over leaf onto page two, what we captured was we started that morning with a visit to the offices of the department, and we noted some of the key observations. Just to reflect again, on page 2, number 5, the committee visited the offices of the department, and the offices had the Office of the Minister, the DG Office, Research Unit, Supply Chain Management, Advocacy and Mainstreaming, the Children's Unit and Human Resources. So some of the key concerns noted by the committee was as follows. In terms of page 2, the first bullet point, the committee noted with concern that there was a significant number of offices that were vacant as staff members were absent. The primary reason for absenteeism was related to illness, but in many instances the absence of the staff could not be accounted for, which was usually problematic. And this we saw as we moved from floor to floor. As all members, Ms. Connie, do you have that report?
No.
So we're on page 2 of the oversight report, and we've just been through why we did the workshop with the department. So we're on page 2, Ms. Connie, looking at the observations we noted when we went to do the oversight. The first was as we moved through each of the department levels, we noted that many of the offices were closed and there were many staff members not at work. And the key reason was either they were ill, but in many instances officials couldn't explain why a particular official wasn't at work on that day. In terms of the second bullet point, the committee noted there was no lights in one of the toilets for persons with disabilities. That was the toilet on the first floor, which was a toilet for persons with disabilities, and that actually the light wasn't working for more than a year. The committee further noted from the ground floor to the second floor, most of the office carpets were dirty and the general conditions of the offices were not conducive to enable staff to perform their duties well, which was in contrast to the conditions of the third floor where the offices were clean and neat. In terms of the boardroom, what the committee also noted was that it could accommodate more than 20 persons at the table, and there was more seating available. And in relation to the issue of the boardroom, with taking cognizance of this, the committee questioned the reason furnished by the department, indicating that it was unable to accommodate the workshop at the offices as a result of space constraints. So bullet two, so the first two bullets we're covering so far, morning.
Please,
in terms of observation summary, the first we looked at absenteeism, many vacant offices, people not there. The second was the conditions of the offices in terms of carpet, the difference between the different floors, issues of the toilets, and as well as the size of the boardroom. The third bullet point, this focused on the lack of shortage of equipment for staff to perform the duties. This is specifically in relation to the communications person, where we saw one laptop being shared between two persons. In fourth bullet point, this focused on the record and filing system, which in the majority of offices was in disarray. Documents were scattered on the floor or stored in boxes and not in a secure lockup facility. Job applications were found either piled up on the floor or in unsealed boxes. And again, this brought into question the measures the department has put in place to ensure confidentiality of documentation and prevent loss and or damage. In terms of the last bullet point, reception and security areas at the building entrance were inadequate. It was indicated that these were in the process of being set up. The committee noted that there was a lack of adequate office furniture, such as filing cabinets in the open office areas. Furthermore, faulty and or broken equipment, such as telephones, were also unattended to. So in summary, this captures some of the observations that members noted. The discussion about these observations happened at the workshop itself. So what we just captured here in the first part of the report is what members saw. So after this visit, we proceeded to the hotel where we had presentations on the turnaround strategy. So in terms of 5.1, the minister started off explaining why the turnaround strategy was done, key issues about the turnaround strategy, and some of the challenges. Over turning to page 2, I think the key issue on page 2 was the acting director general noted.
Okay, can I disturb the meeting a little? I just want to inquire how are you going to go about this? For instance, there are certain things that are not included here, which we observed. So I'm not sure if can we just sort of include them, because it's a long presentation. If we leave it until the end, it might cause confusion. Maybe just to add a few. The other thing, it was an issue of office space. There was no office space, you know, for some people. Remember, we saw microwaves and fridges within the same space. Like, I've got photos where you've got a laptop and then a microwave and a kettle, you know, such things. Then the other one, the lack of a restroom or even the kitchen itself, because there was a fridge in one of the offices for the staff. So, I mean, it does talk to performance, you know, if people do not have the adequate space in the offices and they do not have a proper resting area, you know, for their lunch or tea time. Thanks.
If you look at page 3, I mean the observations, and then you turn to page 5, and you say observations again, and I think what the member is raising there, it's covered here. So I just don't know why we repeated the observations. We repeated them here, and then we repeated them here again on page 5, where it's going to be covering, I think, the office you know, environment. The office.
Okay, can I explain? Mm-hmm. How we structured the report is number 5 literally captures what we saw, whereas number 7, those were discussions that emerged after all the presentations happened. So what members did was they then raised the observations and say, this is what we saw, this is problematic. So we needed to keep it separate, because there wasn't a discussion at the oversight visit. We needed to capture exactly what we saw. But many of those issues, members then say, based on what we saw this morning, how can you say that supply chain management is being seen to in their documents on the floor. That is why it may seem as a repetition, but it was more in the context of the discussion after the workshop.
The process that was followed during the and Chair, if I can come in here, page five talks to the committee's observations, what we saw, and especially the general issue here relates to it relates to the fact that I think you can remember that the question was asked, why could we not have the meeting at the department's office, seeing that there is a boardroom, seeing that they do have the facilities. That is what page 5 relates to as far as I went through it. And the pages following relates to what, as we go along, what the committee's observations is, what I see, what the ICT was, what the office situation was. Just look at the headings there, then you'll be able to follow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Moray is attending a social development meeting too. They're having a social development meeting now at 10. It's crashing all the way, but she will come back again after the meeting.
Okay, can you then add, whilst we are still on the stage, then the issues that you felt were left out during our visit on the side to the office? Are there any more additions?
No, it comes up in the report later on. Mm. Under a different heading, so I think we can proceed. I'll work through the report. It comes up, the issues that we experience comes up under the different headings in the report. And let's see, proceed with it, and we'll ask our questions at the end of it. We also work through it and just make notes, and that is what I did. Then we can ask our questions, Chair, if it is okay with you.
For now.
Yeah. Let's just keep up to proceed. I am definitely understanding.
Can we proceed because they may be answered by, you know, discussions.
Yeah.
Sure
they are questions, but let you proceed, then we ask our questions afterwards.
Okay?
It's an excellent report. It's just a pity we couldn't get this report before we had our debate because it was
So we're on page 3. I think the key issue on page 3, what the acting DG highlighted to the committee, was that the turnaround strategy had 3 phases: crisis intervention, stabilization, and sustainability. And there were time frames attached to each phase. That was key. So there was an explanation as to what the phases entailed and some of the progress and achievements the department noted. So at the end of page 3, some of these included that it requested and received an additional $12 million for compensation allocated to the adjustment expenditure of national estimates, that a range of policies were finalized, that the financial delegations were approved and implemented, that responsibility managers were appointed, that management committees established in support of cooperative governance, tracking invoices and monthly financial statements provided to program managers, and in terms of governance structures, the department indicated that there was an internal audit plan that was approved, additional audit committee members appointed, and competencies strengthened. Oversight by the audit committee was undertaken on compliance issues, and that the turnaround around the turnaround strategy and internal audit. And that with regards to monitoring progress, achievements, and impact, the department indicated a top management monitors progress on the implementation of the project weekly. This progress was reported on at managers and audit committee meetings. Monthly monitoring of financial statements was also in place as of November 2012. The department received budgetary allocation of 192.849 million for the 2012-13 financial year, of which 69.8 million was allocated to the compensation of employees. What the acting DG then went on to describe was some of the challenges around the implementation of the strategy. And these included that there was no additional funding that was made available, hence the implementation of the strategy was subject to the current capacity and budget. This is on 5.2, first bullet point, and nor was there any commitment received from National Treasury for the implementation of the strategy. There was a lack of training budget for 2012-13, which inhibits training and development in support of the turnaround strategy, that a redesign of organizational structures is required to support the evolving strategic goals and objectives, and that HR planning priorities need to be adjusted on the basis of the amended strategic intentions, process definitions, business and service delivery models, that an assessment of available skills is required in order to support the turnaround strategy. So this was an indication from the DG as to what their challenges were around the turnaround strategy. She then highlighted some of the turnaround matrix priorities. So what were the key issues the department was going to focus on in terms of this turnaround? It was around the mandate, the establishment of the strategy and structure, focus on organizational performance, mainstreaming strategies, M&E frameworks, country reports, ICT, BAS and personnel systems, the HR strategy and financial management. So that covered the turnaround strategy. It looked at what they did, how they did, what the challenges were, and what they deemed as the priorities. The following presentations then focused around the mainstreaming framework, as well as the advocacy strategy, institutional support and capacity building, and the integrated monitoring and evaluation strategy. All the detail of that is found in the presentation that they had sent to us. What we now proceed on is the key observations. In terms of the observations, these emerged based on the discussions members had with the officials around the turnaround strategy, as well as those four policies. M&E, the strategy, capacity building, and so forth. So we subdivided these into key headings so that it's easier to capture. On the left-hand side is the observation by the committee, and on the right was the departmental response. It's important to note that in many instances when members raised questions, the department didn't always come up with an answer. They may have just acknowledged and noted that this is something that they will attend to. So if you look and say, well, why are there more bullet points on the left compared to the right? And it's because, like I've indicated, in many instances it was via an acknowledgement, this is a problem, and that the department will look at it. So then starting on page 5, in terms of the first observation, general, the committee had indicated that the workshop was to be had with the department, and the deputy minister had then tendered an apology, but the committee wasn't happy with the fact that the deputy minister wasn't present and actually requested that the DMX put that in writing. Second bullet point, the committee was concerned that the department was spending money on hosting the workshop at a hotel, when in fact the department's boardroom could have been utilized instead and the catering could have been outsourced to a women's SMME. To this end, the committee requested the breakdown of the cost incurred for having the workshop at the hotel. And that's the link to the observation about what the committee saw at the oversight visit, a boardroom with a big table, 20 chairs around the table. Third bullet point, the committee's overall concern was the lack of synergy between the presentations made and the observations noted during the oversight visit to the department's offices. In other words, the They spoke about the turnaround strategy and all these policies and things that they have in place, but this was in direct contrast to what members physically saw during the visit in the morning. Last bullet point, the committee reflected on the development of the department and indicated that it was informed that during its first year of being established, the focus was meant to be on human resource, the second year on policy development and implementation, and the third year on ICT infrastructure. Given this reflection, the committee questioned why the department was still dealing with some of the challenges. Turning on to page six, the committee was concerned about the morale and retention of staff at the department, given the working conditions that were not optimal. It was unclear as to what phase the department was actually in with respect to the turnaround strategy, just given what the committee had seen based on their presentations, and that it was unclear as to whether all staff were consulted on the turnaround strategy. So those were just some of the general responses. In terms of how the departments responded to some of these issues, firstly, the department noted back on page 5, that department noted the committee's overall concern. It indicated that the main reason the workshop was hosted at the hotel and not at the boardroom was because it did not have the facilities to take members for a meal. In other words, there wasn't a space to accommodate around lunchtime. The department indicated that it was in phase 2 of the turnaround strategy, which ended in March 2013. The departmental staff were consulted on the turnaround strategy during September and October 2012, and the engagement concerned managers from a chief director to a director position, and where the input was requested, and that discussions on the turnaround strategy were also held at EXCO and management committee meetings, that in December 2012, a general meeting was held with all staff where support for the turnaround strategy was obtained and a name was developed. Back onto page 6, we now looked at ICT and the office environment. In terms of ICT, the committee was concerned about the availability of computers and access to network points for internet and email, as these were considered essential tools of the trade, and yes, linking it to the oversight visit. During the oversight visit, the committee was informed that the director and deputy director for communication share laptop, as neither of the officials have a desktop. This seriously compromises the officials from undertaking what they were employed to do. The department's response in relation to ICT issues was that laptops were only issued to senior managers and field workers, and that a need must be expressed by the respective official before one is provided. In terms of the office environment, the committee noted that the committee was shocked by the state of the office environment, and as such, the discussions and the presentations were informed by what members had observed during the visit, that the conditions of certain offices clearly pose as a health hazard for staff example, the conditions of the carpets were really awful. The committee also questioned why there were no cleaners to attend to all the offices of the department. And that finally, the committee also noted was concerned that as per visit, many of the offices were locked with no clear indication as to the staff that were located in those offices. So those was just about issues around the office environment. In terms of the response by the department, the minister indicated that department inherited the building from Department of Public Works and as such were bound by certain operational issues. For example, that the cleaning service was already tendered out to a company. So inherited the building as well as the cleaning service. The cleaning contract was part of the leasing of the building but was coming to an end in March 2013. The issue of offices not being clean was raised with the Department of Public Works but nothing had come of it. The committee was informed that the cleaners were not being paid at the right time and as such the cleaning services were not rendered their duty, and that the department was not in a position to terminate the contract with the existing cleaning company. The department acknowledged that the building where some of the offices were housed was not big enough to accommodate all staff. It also acknowledged that certain lifts within the building was not working and this was a security problem, and that the department indicated that an occupational health and safety committee was established, which was being supported by human resources to address concerns about the working conditions. Then focusing around the Fluxman report, What the committee indicated was that the Flaxman report had been tabled by the Speaker of the National Assembly for consideration. The Minister just reiterated that the Flaxman investigation was initiated to deal with alleged fraud and corruption. That the following officials were suspended in March 2013 as an outcome of the investigation: Chief Director and Director for Human Resources, the Director for Strategic Management, as well as International Relations, the driver, as well as the Deputy Director in the Office of the DG. So in total, there were 5 resignations, which amounted to 3% of the total staff complement. Moving then on to Human Resource, the committee was concerned about the level of absenteeism. Now, this was being monitored, as well as where the monthly reports were compiled in this regard. Secondly, it was unclear as to exactly how many officials were in the employ of the department. Given the critical number of vacancies, the committee questioned how the department would implement its turnaround strategy. Thirdly, the committee was dissatisfied with the department in not having done the skills audit. In addition, the committee was concerned that the department intended using an external consultant to undertake the skills audit given its limited budget. And that finally, the committee was concerned with the department's use of consultants in terms of costs incurred and what the scope of the work entailed. On to page 8. In terms of staff wellness, the committee was concerned that the initiatives presented seemed to be a once-off event, and that was around what they were doing for staff wellness. They had spoken about one thing that they did. This was discouraged, and instead the department was urged to address the root cause of the problems and to ensure that addressing staff wellness was an ongoing matter. And that finally, it was unclear as to whether the department had a retention strategy and what this entailed. In addition, the committee was keen to know what the turnaround percent of personnel was within the department. So in terms of all these HR issues, this is what the department had responded. Back to page 7. The department had been unable to compile monthly reports but have the required information as to how many people were in its employ. So this was in request to, do you compile monthly reports about your officials? Absenteeism is recorded manually within the department, as there is no electronic system at present, and as such, the attendance register is checked against the leave taken. Thirdly, the department acknowledged that it has not yet done the skills audit, and that it was in the process of correcting the personnel system. And to this end, the department intended outsourcing the skills audit to an external consultant. Furthermore, the department reiterated that the budget structure had to be corrected in order to effectively deal with personnel issues. The minister noted that since the Flaxman investigation, it yielded 5 resignations. The department also indicated back onto page 8 that it had not yet appointed service providers to assist with the implementation of the turnaround strategy, but that this will be done by June 2013. Due to capacity constraints within the department, consultants were required to develop the M&E strategy. The department informed the committee that it was still busy working on a retention strategy, as the department did not have the incentives and was unable to provide counter-offers to applicants applying for positions when offered the post. And this was in request to how do you ensure that we actually get really good people. And they were saying that often they go through an interview process, the job's offered, but they can't come up with a better offer if the person has found an offer elsewhere. Second last bullet, the department assured the committee that exit interviews were conducted and that these would be analyzed and the findings to be made available to the committee, and that social cohesion activities were done once a quarter with the staff. And this was in response to that they don't just do wellness once off. In terms of finances, the committee was concerned that the department was implementing the strategy without adequate resourcing or commitment from National Treasury for more funds. To this end, the committee questioned what information and motivation was submitted to National Treasury for the request to be declined. In other words, why did National Treasury decline the request for more money? What did they then ask of National Treasury? It was unclear as to how much was actually allocated from the department's budget to give effect to the turnaround strategy. The information presented on the department's finances were unclear. The committee inquired as to whether staff had received training on the PFMA. That was one of the key issues that had come out from the Auditor General previously. It was unclear as to what a 3 million versus 12 million allocation was actually going to be spent on in order to implement a turnaround strategy. So the response by the department was as follows. The minister reiterated that National Treasury was supporting the department, but only insofar as the financial systems were concerned, by providing support to the risk director, internal audit, and the financial director's office and the staff in supply chain management. So there was support from National Treasury, but it was in relation to the financial offices. The acting CFO noted that the committee's finance presented to the committee reflected cumulative amounts. The department acknowledged that programs 234, which focuses on women, children, and persons with disabilities, were suffering on account of inadequate funding. To this end, posts were cut for the aforementioned programs due to limited finances. Second last bullet, the department indicated that it had not yet held a workshop on the PFMA and was still intent doing it, and that it had sent staff to Palama for training. The minister indicated that the turnaround strategy was signed off in October 2012 and that National Treasury allocated $12 million in this regard. Half was for helping to establish necessary posts and systems within supply chain management, internal audit, and the finance department. And $6 million was allocated for strengthening the financial administration. The other $6 million was allocated for overexpenditure that was incurred from the previous financial year, which was largely for the compensation of employees, and that the committee was reassured that the overexpenditure in the current financial year ceased. The $3 million was for the reviewing of strategies, the department's HR structure to do a process mapping, to undertake a work study, and to devise a skills plan. Since then, the integrated monitoring and evaluation strategy was finalized. That's the IMES. The department reassured the committee that its financial statements were audited and that the auditors were satisfied with the findings, that the erratum in the E&E this year was sent to Parliament, and that was around the questioning about a particular amount which we noted at the during the budget speech. And they said that was corrected. In terms of record keeping, the issues noted by the committee was that they were concerned that despite what was presented by the Department on the securing of documentation, the oversight visit revealed poor record-keeping practices as documents were seen lying on the floor, not filed and not in secure lock-up offices. Most offices did not have filing cabinets, yet on the site visit the committee was shown a storeroom filled with unused folders. This brought into question why the Department had been unable to deliver reports to the committee as the state of record-keeping was dismal. Last bullet point, the committee responded to the need for shredders and cautioned the department against unnecessary expenditure, but to look at cost-saving measures and suggested recycled paper instead. This was a request by one of the officials saying, well, we need a shredder to get rid of paper. The department responded in terms of record keeping and assured the committee that reports were produced on content work, for example, the Beijing report. The department's biggest challenge in terms of record keeping related to loss of personnel files and financial documents. The personnel files were prioritized and that these were now secured in a lockup facility with an associated register. The bathroom contained a fireproof cabinet for the filing system and that the camera still needed to be installed as an additional security feature. The department acknowledged that it still needed a record management policy and system, however, more resources was required for filing and partitioning of offices. The department indicated that it required a shredding machine to discard information that is no longer required. The committee was assured that all value and documents were captured within the registry. In terms of a filing system, the department only had a draft plan. Given the limited budget, space constraints, and categories of documentation, all staff needed to understand the implications of this for filing. And the department indicated that with the suspension of the former chief director for HR and the director for HR, documentation within the department disappeared, but that the department was addressing this matter. I'm going to hand over for Crystal just to give my voice a bit of a rest.
moving on to intersectoral collaboration. The committee noted that even though the department makes reference to various agreements made with stakeholders, it was unclear as to what extent and nature of such memorandums of understandings and or context entailed. And I think this is a question that the committee has been asking for quite some time in relation to MOUs that the department says they've signed, set up, and contracts they've signed with various stakeholders. The response there was that the department acknowledged the importance collaboration with GCIS and Tusong centres. Furthermore, the department indicated that a substantial amount is spent on placing advertisements for posts, media and marketing. The committee inquired as to what the, I think maybe that bullet point there that I just, in terms of the response, should go under the media and marketing because it speaks to GCIS. Move that. The committee inquired as to what the nature of the relationship was between the department and GCIS as well as Tusong centres. Given the department's challenges, it was indicated that such collaborations could potentially enhance the work of the department in disseminating information. The committee was concerned about the negative publicity received by the department and inquired what was being done to improve this image. So then that first, the bullet point under intersectoral collaboration is then the first response under media and marketing. So there then, the department acknowledged the important collaboration with GCIS and Tusong centres, and the department indicated that they spend a substantial amount on placing ads for posts. Secondly, the department reiterated that by addressing the audit outcomes and improving the department's financial situation, it would have a positive outcome on its image. Press conferences are also used as platforms to inform and engage with the public. Affecting the department's mandate, the committee questioned what the actual niche of the department was, as the strategies and frameworks presented were very broad. The committee was concerned that the department was not rendering quality services and was unable to give effect to its mandate, given that the budgets of programs 2, 3, and 4 were cut, yet this formed part of the core function. The alignment between the integrated mainstreaming framework, the institutional support and capacity building framework, the integrated monitoring and evaluation strategy, and the advocacy strategy was poor, and there was much duplication. The lack of costing and clear time frames for implementation was as concerning. The response there, the department acknowledged that the core programs 2, 3, and 4 were suffering due to a lack of adequate funding and capacity constraints. And in terms of the department's strategic direction and focus, it was utilizing government's 5 priorities and then working with the 3 programs to look at M&E, advocacy, institutional support, and capacity building and advocacy. Looking at the integrated mainstreaming framework, the committee noted with concern that in the absence of a known mainstreaming framework, monitoring and evaluation within government and civil society at large is problematic. Furthermore, based on the committee engagement, on the committee's engagement with various departments, it was evident that many did not know how to mainstream gender, child death, and disability effectively. The framework presented focused more on describing theoretical concepts, but was lacking in terms of implementation. The committee was concerned that the department had insufficient staff and that the required number of staff had yet to be costed and finances sorted, and was concerned as to how all of this would impact on the department's ability to give effect to the aforementioned framework. The committee questioned how the department would hold other departments to account for failing to mainstream the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities, given the capacity constraints. It was unclear as to what the short and long-term goals were for mainstreaming, how these will be achieved, and who the key stakeholders were. The overall concern was that it was unclear as to how the department intended to implement the mainstreaming framework, how it was going to get all government departments to comply, and what the criteria was to get the departments to deliver. This issue had emerged clearly from the engagement the committee had with the various departments on the UNCRC and the UNCRPD. It was unclear as to how the department was practically ensuring integration of mainstreaming frameworks across the various government departments and levels. The response from the department, the minister reiterated the impact of the limited budget and capacity constraints on the department's ability to give effect to its mandate. An appeal was made to the committee to assist the department in this regard to obtain more funding. The mainstreaming framework still required a sign-off from the minister and the deputy minister. It served as an overarching framework for the 3 strategies to operationalize the department's mandate. The department cited the following examples of how it ensured compliance. firstly the development of the Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill to legislate for accountability. The department acknowledged the lack of targets versus the departments, which is working with departments to agree on these. In terms of international obligations, the department developed a framework for doing the CEDAW report and then workshopped this with various departments and then requested them to respond. The subsequent mock trial held was also very useful. Moving on to the monitoring and evaluation strategy, the committee noted that the department needs a clearer mainstreaming framework and M&E strategy for reporting against set targets and objectives, as well as a proposed plan of action or intervention. It was unclear as to when the strategy was to be finalized and made available to government for implementation. It is unclear as to how the department was working collaboratively with the departments of health, social development, and basic education to monitor, for example, infant mortality, under five mortality, children with disabilities, access to education. In terms of the response, the minister indicated that programs 2, 3, and 4 were forced to work together to avoid duplication, and as such, the strategies developed can be applied by each of those programs. Furthermore, each sector will utilize their own tools for advocacy, capacity building, and monitoring and evaluation. The department remained committed to implement the frameworks and strategies despite the limited resources. The department acknowledged that information on the number of children with disabilities not in schools was lacking, and the department intends working with CODESA to look at indicators. Moving on to institutional support and capacity building. It was unclear as to what the role of focal points was that the department referred to and what specifically these were expected to do. The committee also sought more clarity on the relationship that the department had with other departments as well as the CGE and the presidency. To this end, the committee inquired as to what the department's agenda was at a provincial and local government level. Furthermore, it was interested in the status of MOUs with premier's offices. And as I indicated earlier, this is also something that the committee has been asking for the longest time. The committee asked the department how many departments actually knew what their obligations were with respect to the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities, and what specifically was being done to educate the departments about their obligations. The response, the department, through its machineries, will ensure the education of departments, provinces, and municipalities of their obligations with respect to women, children, and persons with disabilities. An MOU was signed with the Minister of Health, working on HIV/AIDS, maternal and child mortality. The department was also partnering with UNICEF and UN Women to encourage testing and treatment during pregnancy. Another MOU was also signed with the Minister of Rural Development. Since the development of the Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, all other MOUs were ceased as the legislation is envisaged to enforce mainstreaming by departments. The department is finalizing the strategy within a week and year after it will be signed by premiers. In terms of the advocacy strategy, the committee noted with concern that despite initiatives such as the 365 days of action, the scourge of gender-based violence persists. Hence, a tougher approach is required with tangible outcomes that can be achieved. It was unclear to the committee as to what the intentions of the department were to ensure that the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities are realized despite presentations made. It is unclear as to how the department was following up on issues raised by civil society at various platforms, such as public hearings and community participation initiatives. An advocacy initiative was cited as an example. The launch of the Disability Month at the Tucson Center in KZN in November 2012, where recording of issues raised appeared to be absent from departmental officials. The minister assured the committee that issues raised by civil society are recorded during the advocacy initiatives, but was not sure about the example cited and indicated that it would be followed up. I think maybe before we move on to the conclusion, is there anything that members feel we left out or need to expand on with regard to the observations from the committee? Continue. Okay. In terms of number 8, the conclusion, having met with the department, the committee assured the department that feedback given was part of its oversight duties and should be taken in a constructive manner. The committee was concerned about the overall progress in terms of implementing the turnaround strategy, addressing the Auditor General's recommendations, and the department being able to fulfill its mandate within a limited budget, resources, and capacity. The committee will continue to engage closely with the department to monitor progress and developments in the months ahead. Number 9, recommendations. Having interacted with the department and made observations, the committee recommends as follows. Firstly, and in general, that the working conditions of department staff should be improved as a matter of urgency along with general morale. The department to submit monthly reports to the committee. The department to provide the committee with various MOUs and or contacts with stakeholders. That it should submit all reports produced with respect to women, children, and people with disabilities. And that the department must ensure better alignment between all its policies, frameworks, and strategies that pertain to women, children, and persons with disabilities. Moreover, these overarching policies must have clear timelines for implementation and be costed accordingly. Under human resources, the department submits an updated organigram with an indication of actual number of posts filled to the committee. The department to provide the committee with a list of all critical posts filled, the number of personnel dismissed, the number of personnel on special leave, the number of disciplinary charges held against personnel, and on what grounds these charges were laid, samples of exit interviews in terms of the issues raised, the department's retention strategy, and the turnaround percent of personnel. And lastly, the skill shortage must be addressed. Current personnel should be upskilled where required. In terms of the finances, the department must supply the committee with a list of consultants being used along with the nature and scope of work. The department to submit a list of all donor money received and the expected outcomes. The department was cautioned against the use of consultants given their limited budget and was encouraged to engage the current staff complement on matters and to use the funds earmarked for external service providers on the core programs instead. In terms of record keeping of the department requires urgent attention, and all confidential documents such as job applications should be stored in a secure place. In terms of ICT, all laptop shortages should be addressed and broken telephones fixed. Access to network points for personnel required should be addressed and timeframes set by which this will be achieved. The integrated mainstreaming framework and the monitoring and evaluation strategy. The department was requested to provide additional information to the committee that explained what the implementation plan was to get other departments to comply with the framework. To this end, the department should provide a description of what was expected of departments, guidelines of how mainstreaming should be done, and by when. In terms of the institutional support and capacity building and advocacy, the department was encouraged to work more collaboratively with departments and Chapter 9 institutions, especially the CGE, on the 365 days of action.
Thank you very much. This is quite a substantial. Honourable members, here is our report. I think we should go back to page. Page 2. We should go back to page 2. Or maybe I should not restrict you. Let me just open up questions of clarity, comments, and engage in discussion. It's quite a lot to digest. Honourable Lamula, Honourable Van der Merwe.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm extremely pleased with a very detailed report and very unhappy about the department, because I remember the day when we were discussing this report before. And that is why I was insisting on having this report. I actually wanted this report before our budget speech. Unfortunately, it could not be finalized, but now we have it, so I'm pleased with it. And you know, so little has been done from the department side, and we must admit this, Chairperson, and I want it to be noted that just pointing to the MOUs, several times since last year already, we've asked for copies of the MOUs. It never came to light. I remember I've been asking for a list of private donors, and that was a very, very good reason why I've been asking for this. Up till now, I do not know if it was sent from the department to this committee, a list of private donors besides the funding that they get from National Treasury. By the way, I see somewhere it is highlighted that 12 million was given to this department. I remember something like 19 million, of which 12 went to the department and 7 went to the upgrade of the deputy minister's office in a previous report that I read. And then monthly reports, which was of pivotal importance to see and to monitor if this department was doing what they were supposed to do. As I was working through this report, so many questions came to my mind as I was working through it. And one just now that we ended the report was all laptop shortages on ICT. I remember that either the deputy, the acting chair, DG, or the minister said, the acting DG said, we have rooms full of laptops and computers. They must just ask. But even if they have rooms full of computers, resources need to be the tools of the matter, and I spoke on that one in my debate speech, was supposed to be given to a person once that person is appointed. So I can't understand why these people had to go without it. That was my first one. And then how do we know that whatever is in this report on general and on human resources was done by this department? How are we going to monitor that they did exactly what we've asked them or what we've put down in this report to safeguard this committee from future inquiries, which will definitely come to this committee? I spoke on the MOU copies. Departments, line departments, sister departments. I was reiterating several times that if this department only opens up to the sister or line departments, they will achieve. But this has never happened. This has never happened. I remember in last year's budget speech, the Honourable Deputy Minister referred to, and Honourable Mula Shistel said, you must help us in this regard, the disabled children not being in schools. And she still said 200,000 is in the Western Cape. Up to today, and I've even asked questions on this chair, I do not know where those children are. I still do not know how to go about it. I called her once and she said, ask the Department of Education. It's not my duty to ask the Department of Education. When she referred to it, that she will give it to me. I said, Minister, just give it to me, then I will see that those children are accommodated somewhere. It never happened. And I made notes of all these things. And then implementation of the monitoring evaluation and strategy, IMES. It is so important for this department to see that whatever is implemented, even if by the line or sister departments, needs to be monitored and evaluated to see if they are reaching their goals set. As I say, alone they cannot do it. And then on temps. The extra budget that was given to this department of the 19 million, we now know, and I remember there was something of 19 million, 12 million going to the department, 7 to the deputy minister for upgrade of office. I asked the question on temporary workers once. I said, and it was to this very DG now that headed the department, the acting DG. Were there at any point in time temps appointed in your department, for how long, and what was the cost of it? And there was a valid reason why I've asked for that. Up till today, I still get it. I do not get an answer. My big question, why, and you know, this department must not draw this committee into their province in this manner that they want us to ask or to assist them to get Treasury to give them more funding.
I'm not going to be part and parcel of that, Jay, because the very fact that Treasury does not want to consider more funding for them tells the story. Conditions on those that were expelled from the department.
The Honourable Namula, can you pause? Just drink water, let us go to Parliament when we come back. We are still speaking.
Yeah, let me just ask the last one. On those that left the department, there were disciplinary hearings for those people. And remember, I've asked the question, who was the referee and who was the player? Who was the chairperson of the committee that sat for the disciplinary hearings? And at times this committee thought that I want to be funny or cruel or whatever to this department. There were very valid reasons, and it will surface one of these days why these things were never answered, Jay. I'll pause there for a while, but I still have more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've been largely covered, but I just wanted to say that I wanted to thank the researchers for the document. I think going forward, this should really be our working document because it highlights very succinctly all the issues that we've been raising for quite a long time. And I think also it highlights what is still outstanding. For example, I think if one looks at the quarter one to quarter four reports, on the issue of MOUs, I think we need to really get clarity from the department where it comes to the MOUs, because I remember very clearly the minister telling us that she only signed an MOU with the Department of Health and then she suspended the process because she's waiting for the wedgie bill. And I think if we look in the quarter one to four reports, the MOUs that they've signed, it seems that it were MOUs signed with other countries and not really internally with other departments. And I think it speaks again to this issue of our department and their working relationship with other departments, if I'm correct. But I think we need to get clarity on that. And then just going forward, just raising some of the similar issues, I think, this is really a wonderful working document because it will help us to hold to account the department when they come forward. For example, the monthly reports, if we met with them in March, it's already August, almost August now, and we haven't received a monthly report. We need to also just get an update on the equipment. I would really like to know what is their current working relationship with Treasury. And also, I think since I've come here to this committee, we've never had any information with regards to a skills audit. I think the very first meeting I attended, the minister had said that the skills audit was underway. We'd soon know, what sort of skills what skills has she got on board, what is still lacking, and we're still waiting for that. And I think we need to pressurize them on that. Also, just to ask him about the PMFA workshop, and because I think that is, instrumental. If they still haven't done it, then what are the financial statements going to look like, and what is the Auditor General going to say? And then lastly, also this issue of the building, just in our report. I'm not quite sure. The building at this stage is not suitable for our department. And it also creates, in my opinion, a sort of a rift between the minister and the deputy minister, because the deputy minister is housed elsewhere. And when I was looking at this report, I know that the building is given to us by Public Works. But surely if the building is not suitable, then our department should be able to express that to Public Works, and a suitable building should be made available. And I think that's also something we need to raise with them. I can't see why, if there are other buildings available, one building, it can't just be that's the building and that's it. And I think we need to raise that with them. Also, I think I'll stop there. But just to say again, thank you for the document. I think everything in here will help us to speak to them and hold them to account, because I think the quarter one to quarter four reports, those are done and dusted. But this was actually oversight work. It's real issues that we can raise in future. Thank you.
So, now that we talk about the donors, I think we should
That's what we've asked them to. We've asked the amount and what it was used for.
Okay. Let me know the honorable the other thing, members, I think we should be able to, you know, to have the department actually feeding us, you know, as to how far are they with what they have. Because if you look at this report, there are many, you know, outstanding issues that the department has undertaken, you know, to take. So I think that's what we should do. And I think the other important point is the mechanism that is going to assist us to make follow up, you know, on issues. Because somewhere along the line they get lost. So I think we also need that time to look at that type of mechanism that we have looked at, that they don't fall off.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, researchers and advisor Kashifa, for the report. I was not part of the oversight, but this report made me feel that I was part of the members who do the oversight in the department. I was going to just make maybe questions. Honorable Van der Merwe, he asked the questions about the building, because I was worried that if the staff, they are working in that conditions, how can you be, how can I put it? If you are working in a bad conditions, you can't be, you know, you can't do your work properly. Because in page 6, the minister indicated that the department inherited the building from the public works, you know. Even the cleaners, they can't do anything. If the cleaners, they don't clean, you know. If you're working in the bad condition, the place is not clean. You know, if you're working in the place, if there's old carpet in that area where you work, sometimes you have this, you know. I never had sinus, but I work in the old building that was the old, there was the old carpet. When I go to the doctor, say I had that sinus from the carpet, you know. I'm just wondering, you know, if they are still in that building. You know, they are still working in that same conditions. I think is the other a question that maybe you can ask the department when we meet. As I said, I was not part of the oversight, but this report makes me feel that I was part of the oversight. As Honorable Lamula say, I've worked with this report. I'm still going to work and check this report properly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I just wanted to ask a follow-up question. Would we be able to ask the department to come tomorrow with copies of the MOUs or not? You know, let me say that I will ask the secretary to do that, but we have been asking that, you know. I don't know for how long we've been asking for those. We don't know ourselves what those MOUs look like, what they entail. And we have been asking for them. I don't know whether they have responded as to those MOUs that have been signed. But before maybe you come in, let me allow Honorable Lamula. Honorable.
This report is an excellent report, and I would urge all members to sit down and work through it. We can all contribute to the success of this committee when dealing with this department. We can all work through it. What I suggest, we've been asking for MOUs for quite a time. We've been asking for the list of donors with the amount and how the money was spent for quite a time. We've been asking for monthly reports for quite a time. Several issues in this report have been asked for several times, for quite a long time. I would suggest just refer to these issues that we are waiting for and ask them to bring it with tomorrow. Because if they take this committee series, which they should do, they at least have everything in place
The other day when I worked on a very big project, Chair, I could just call the department and I could get the stats from them, which was of excellent use for those that needed to, that was supposed to implement. So if this department is serious, and our complaints are coming on from last year, and you know, besides the fact that the minister was trying to put us off and wrestle us and do whatever she wanted to do with us, we still, as the community, have the right to ask for these issues. And I suggest, draw up a combined list of what we've been asking them for quite some time. Put it to them. They cannot say short notice, because if they say that, we'll deal with them when they come here tomorrow, because we can refer to that when we've been asking for these items from them. And the time since last year already. I cannot believe that even with a shortage of staff, they cannot give it to us,
seeing that they know what the shortcomings were. And we have highlighted it to them several times. So let them come with it tomorrow. That is what we want. And then I'd also suggest, Chair, instead of working on those quarterly, a year ago's reports of quarter 1 to 4, they will, you know, truly, I've only went through thoroughly through the first and the last report, and the vacuum is quite vast. Hulle praat deur mekaar, they repeat, and I think if we work from this report, rather, we'll achieve more than working from those programs. Ek weet nie seker reg of ek nie. Want regtig waar, you know, this is a summary of what we have experienced, what they have told us. And you know what I've also highlighted? There were 3 women that really made an impression with their presentations. Let me just get their name. In that workshop, and it was, this is Sulu Sinkapi woman, this Dr. September, and then Mononela. Those three knew what they were, what they wanted to achieve, and they knew what they were trying to tell us. But even the DG, say net recht of my kwaad gemaakt verder. But let us ask them, let me just conclude there, let us ask them for what we have been asking several times last year. And I've got a very good reason for it, Chair. As if I may well luister, can sell it on Slavey Bar. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I think last year in November, if I'm not mistaken, they did give us just a list of MOUs, not the copies of all of the departments that they have signed for. And in terms of the list of donors, they also sent, they did send a list of donors with the amount, but not what it was intended for.
Of the amount of the donors.
Okay, the researchers will speak to that.
Do you want to speak to respond to that? The
donors. Thank you, Chair. Now, just to say that when we go through after this, through the quarterly reports for those programs, the WEDGE program, the Children's Rights and the Disability program, the department has reported on the amount of donor funds received and for what purpose, and we'll speak to that now shortly after this as well, Chair, in those programs.
And the wedge B, yeah, it's one of them.
Mm. The awaited wedge B. Mm. So I think it's one of them.
Oh, it's the bowl, yeah.
Yeah, wedge B.
But Chair, why are you on that? I don't know.
We must also be very careful. Remember, I alerted you to overriding bills on equality. That bill speaks to equality. And I'm still wondering, why do we put out this bill? Why do we not see that the previous ones are implemented on equality for women?
Can I give a honorable DM, and then I'll come back. I'll come back to Honorable Fana Merve and then hand over to researchers. By the way, they won't be able to answer for the department. They can only clarify matters that are here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me first thank the researchers for this report. And it's
the true reflection of what was happening in that oversight, Chaperson. But you know, Chaperson, now I'm very, I don't know how can I put it in the Matulans, I don't know, because when we raise some of these issues at our budget vote, the minister take us as if, you know, she rubbish us left, right, and center. And we raise these issues, the very same issues that is here, we raise it. Mine is just to check chair with the department tomorrow. If how far did they go with the time frames? Did they met some of the time frames they put here in this report? Because we must not leave them with time frames, because they raise a lot of issues, but they never reach and they never met the time frames. Mine is to check with the time frames. I wanted to check that. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, I just quickly wanted to ask our secretary that list of MOUs. How many, can you remember how many was on it? No. Because I remember very clearly in our workshop when we went to Pretoria that the minister said that she's only signed one MOU with the Department of Health, and that's all because she's waiting for the wedgie bill. So then that's a discrepancy in itself if they provided a list, which may also answer then why we haven't seen the copies yet. And I think we need to just get the truth tomorrow from the department. If there is any MOUs, and it couldn't be that difficult just to print a copy of what was signed. But then also, Chairperson, just to add, I also think that going forward, I mean, looking at those quarterly reports, even last time, just working through one report, it was such a mammoth task, but there's so much information in it. There's really no value for us. We've looked through it, and it was clear that from the first report to the fourth report, there was a discrepancy in the way they report information. Even in the beginning, there was one set of the way they were doing it, and then it shifted in the fourth quarter where they started with financial reports, for example. Now, those things are all done and dusted. There's nothing we can do about it. But, you know, obviously to take the issues that are left in the fourth quarter report, which have not been achieved, and then to take the issues that we have got now in this report, and then to question the department on that. And I think the issue that Honourable Diemo raises about time frames, I think tomorrow with each of the outstanding issues that we've been addressing for the last 12 months, we would like to have time frames for each of those issues from the department, and maybe we should alert them that will be what we'll be asking for. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's our job to hold them to account, and then therefore we would like to see time frames. Otherwise, we'll go to the elections, and, you know, it will be a change, a shift in political, you know, charges, and still there'll be no progress. And I think for us, for our own sanity, we would like to see some time frames. Thank you.
Chairperson, I also remember, I spoke on donors and donorships, and I remember that the minister alerted us to, I spoke on the Mosepi Foundation, and she still said, they do not give us money, they pay for events. She replied to that. But may I ask that the list of the donor funding, and the list of the MOUs just be forwarded to me. I can't remember. But I can't remember having that in on my files. I could have checked for it, but I couldn't find. As a brief, don't you?
Thank you. Maybe just to respond to Wim Lula's question around the donors. Where the information is with the presentations they sent us the last time and the revised presentations for tomorrow, at the back of some of those programs they've listed the donor funding that they've received. The thing is that the information they sent us, I think the first time around, that page says donor funding for 11-12, and obviously the others that we have now is for 12-13. So I think it's still important for us to ask for the current financial year, what have you received or what are you receiving, because that is now a record of money that they've received over the past 2 years. But we also need to know for the current financial year.
Chairperson, just through you, we dealt with the, I'm not speaking on the past, I'm speaking on the ones that we've asked recently, since we've been to them, been on the oversight. And there was a reason for it, because it came to my attention that we are receiving donor money. And I was wanting to see if what they gave us was with what I have. I'm not talking about the past 2 years now, Chief. I'm speaking of the present now, the present period, 2012, 2013, because some of those donorships were calculated for 3 and 5 years, and we are in the fifth year now. We are in the fifth year. I want to see where that donor stands. I want to at least match it with what I have. Okay, thank you.
And I want it to be noted like that.
I think just tactically, in a way, forward, Chair mentioned one about a follow-up mechanism. What is this mechanism? What I'm thinking is, based on our oversight report today, I'll pick up all the things that members have requested and list that. And maybe as a letter via the committee signed by the chair, we send that to the department. That with respect to the following issues, the committee kindly requests, and then, for example, under, so over and above the engagement tomorrow and what the department says, we will use the oversight report and say the department to respond in writing. So, for example, in relation to donors, for the MTF cycle, kindly indicate which donor, amount, required output, and type of support, whether it was to produce a book, to have a campaign, or to use a consultant. But also, I think the other issue around donors is that sometimes donors support, but they don't give them the money. That's another important issue. So they come in collaboration and partnership. But the department says this is what we've done. But actually, the money spent doesn't go through their books.
Yeah.
It goes through the donors' books.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think part of the other issue around the donors to request physically what, how much money did you receive, but also what other support have you received and what was the nature of the support. So in other words, did hypothetically UNICEF give you 1,000 T-shirts on National Children's Day and paid for all your catering? Just hypothetically. So in terms of the follow-up mechanism, I'm suggesting that I'm going to look at the report today, pull out using the headings based on the committee's engagement and observations. The committee hereby requests the following. In terms of ICD, kindly give an indication as to whether all staff have received laptops, if not, why not, by when. So, and then actually, so list, using all our headings here, list all the things and what is required, and maybe just put it into a checklist.
Yeah.
So when they send it back, they must actually literally tick off.
Yes.
They gave us this document, they sent us this, this is outstanding. Because I sometimes think that sometimes with the department does respond, but they respond with lots of information, and then you can't match it up. So a part of the mechanism, we will literally design a template to say, these are outstanding issues, this is what we require, please submit. So they either submit in a response, but also when we go through the quarterly reports, the other key issue is reports the department has done. Besides what they presented to us, those four policies, the IMS, advocacy and monitoring, there are many other reports which they refer to, which we physically don't have a copy of. And that's important, because that links also to the issue of a donor. Because if a donor had given you money to produce a report, this committee needs to see what that report looks like. So over and above, so the general issues, the MOUs, the nature of the MOUs, the donors, and also issues of reports for each of the programs, provide a physical copy for all members for each of the reports you said that you have done. So that was my just suggestion in terms of the follow-up mechanism, addressing the issue of the donors, issue of time frames, and outstanding reports. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask about tomorrow. Is the department going to come again with those thick documents of all the quarterly reports, or will they actually come with a succinct report as we've asked them to? So they'll come with one report about successes and outstanding under each topic, or how?
All right.
I'm jumping the gun. Apologies.
I think it's a very valid question that Father Merby is asking, because I also received a second pack from the secretary on these reports. Again, the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't work through those. I don't know if it's the same thing, because I worked through the ones that I received the second time, and that was actually the third package that I received, which is confusing too. But you know what? It's so disgraceful that this department cannot tell us how many people are working in this department. This is for me a verskriklike ding. How can you not know who is working for you? Do you realize the problems that we can pick up as a committee? This department cannot tell us. The minister cannot tell us how many people are working. She can just inquire from her heads of department or the DGs working in the department. They cannot tell us how many people are working there. That is also something that we need to really ask them to provide us with. How can you get two for men to work for you? They can have ghosts there too. See what is happening in education, in social development. Ghost people receiving salaries. It can be this, the reason why the biggest percentage of the budget goes to administration, staff salaries and compensation.
Thank you, Chair. The documents that you were in your pigeonholes in an envelope is the same as the one that I've emailed to members. Some members open up their email, some do not. So I was just making sure that everybody received all the documents. Thank you.
So what they've done is they've combined the quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, and then the report at the bottom.
Just just looking at our oversight report, I've included Ms. Morey's suggestion that we, and the observation for the visit, we note that in terms of the office space that there was a microwave and the printer was all together, that there was a lack of an area for people to have tea. A resting place. Is there anything else that we need to add or amend? Because before we move to the adoption of the report, because then that's out of the way. Is there anything else because what I'm doing, I'm actually including it right now. Because once it's included, I date it, and by this afternoon, it's adopted, and it can be sent off to members.
Chairperson, can I be difficult? Can they bring me pictures? Can they bring me pictures of what the carpets look like now? And because I won't be able to travel there again, so in the interest of being, I want a picture of what the carpets look like now, because apparently, because apparently it's been cleaned, so I would really like to see, but anyway, it was just a tongue in cheek. I would actually like to see what the carpets look like now. Apparently it's been cleaned.
I don't know. I'd like a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know it was something to do with the Flaxman report. Very notorious. Very notorious Flaxman report.
You remember there was still this outstanding issue of the flagman's report being with the public service.
Yes, I remember now. I remember.
It's a follow-up. Yes, it's a follow-up that we have to do.
Chairperson, must we wait for, what did you say?
Public service
to complete their investigation before this committee, as a committee, intrude into the dealings of the Flaxman report? Are we still on the safe side not to call the second applicant on the Fluffman report to this committee? Are we still safe on that one? Must we wait for the public service report?
I think maybe what you should be asking is to say, where is it now with the Public Service Act? And I think it is our duty now to, because, I mean, we have waited up to the end of the year, and then we can ask that, you know, tomorrow. And then if it's not yet, I think we have the right to then call the to ask the Public Service Act about the report, because we have to conclude it, and the report cannot be concluded without engaging all those implicated, I mean, those who are implicated in the, especially the DG. Especially the DG. And I think we agreed that ultimately, before the report is completed, we will have to call the AG, I mean, the DG, to stand before here. Because, I mean, I think we all agreed that the report is one-sided. So for it to be completed, it needs the second, you know, those others who can, I mean, even in court, you don't just have, you know, get a hearing from one party. You must get the hearing from all the parties before you can conclude. So we must discuss that and come up with a way forward.
Ms. Chair, you know why I'm asking? We cannot wait forever and ever and not conclude this matter. I feel... it's so much on my mind. The reason why I'm also asking is the implications, financial implications this report will have on this department. And that is my biggest worry. And I want you to note that I'm very worried about the financial implications, especially with this report not coming to a conclusion. And therefore, we cannot wait until eternity for that. We need to interact and sort out this problem. Thank you.
Start with the women, and how do we want to handle this? Do we want to handle women first, second, third, and fourth, and then come to the next target, or engage? Maybe we'll hear as you proceed. Okay. You have documents, members. Can you please indicate where are you, where we are going to be starting from, so that members can be taken.
Okay. We'll start with Program 2. So you've got a document that says Department for Women, Children, People and Disabilities, Quarterly Reports, Branch Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality.
Okay. I think before I start there, just linking on to what Member Fadi Madva said in terms of them giving us a more succinct document, I think, yes, it's less slides, from 100 slides to the 24 slides that we have now. But in terms of the content, we're none the wiser. It doesn't provide much more than what we had the last time. If anything, these things that I think are left out in this presentation, that were included in those separate ones, especially in terms of challenges that they have. There's nothing mentioned in this presentation on this program in terms of current challenges that they have or things that they've experienced throughout those quarters. Yeah. So then on page one, the first thing there was that in terms of the objective across the four quarters, they seem to change from quarter one to quarter four. So in the first quarters one and two, it was to facilitate and coordinate women's empowerment and gender equality through mainstreaming, to monitor compliance and conduct impact assessments on women's empowerment and gender equality, and compile reports to meet national, regional, and continental and international commitments, and to provide an integrated approach for institutional support and capacity development. Then in quarter three, they also add facilitate and coordinate the fight against gender-based violence as an objective. And by quarter four, there are four very, not very different, but four different objectives to what we had in the other quarters. So the difference is to provide clarity with regard to that. Secondly, if we turn over the page, looking at the targets that they've indicated, in those first set of presentations that they sent us, I calculated the number of targets that they set out for each quarter and how many were achieved, partially achieved, and not achieved. In the second set that we've got now, the numbers are different. If you just count them on the presentation. But there's also a table in the presentation which indicates their targets, and even that is different to the actual amounts if you add them up. So there is something very confusing in relation to the number of targets and how many have been met and what hasn't been achieved. So just looking at that paragraph under that second table, I've said there that taking into consideration the information provided, it appears that the department managed to meet approximately half of its targets, but a great number also partially achieved, and there's no indication what partially achieved means. In addition, there appears to be a discrepancy between the number of targets indicated in the two presentations, and furthermore, in terms of the number of targets outlined on slide 15 of this program presentation, the figures are also different.
There was an explanation for partially achieved in the last meeting that, you know, that went very well.
I think there was an explanation for partially achieved. The DG gave an explanation, but I can't agree with that. If you did not complete, you did not achieve, is it?
Yeah. No, there's no partial. I don't remember getting us an explanation. I think members did raise that in the meeting to say, what do you mean by that? And I don't think it's acceptable because it's either you have achieved or not.
Yeah,
so that's our understanding of achievement.
Yeah.
But Chairperson, sorry, can I also now raise an issue, because we've now got a serious problem, because if the information that they submitted to us in the first meeting, which we interrogated, is now different from the information that we're going to interrogate tomorrow, then how do we know what's right and what's wrong? And also then it calls into question, did they waste our time last time by bringing wrong information, or are they going to waste our time tomorrow because now they're trying to hide some things? Because surely you cannot have 12 targets in quarter one and now it's only gone to 10. It's history, so it's not like you can change it in the process. It's not this quarter. So surely this is a problem.
When we decide to send them back, all of us must agree on that. Because the last time, I don't know why we still listen to what they said. And, you know, I remember I said it's sheer nonsense, and I was called to order, don't say nonsense. Don't say nonsense. I said, well, apology, but I still feel it's worth nothing, what they're trying to tell us. In Afrikaans, we say it's water onder die brug. These things happened a year ago. There's nothing that we can do about it. But we can do a hell of a lot on the report, an intensive report that was given to us by the researchers. So while they come here tomorrow with, and you know, they are changing figures left, right, and center, let us interrogate them on the report that was done by the researchers. Kom ons werk net op dit. And get them to commit themselves now before this year end, so that we can do a proper monitoring, a monitoring and evaluation of this department. That is going to help us. Of course, we can't change anything that went wrong. And the main issue here that they proclaim is lack of funding. Lack of personnel, skilled personnel, is the second one.
No.
Ek weet of,
no, I think I really agree that, I mean, if you look at what the researchers have given us here, it is very true, even when you go back to the reports, to say that the disparities, that's what they need to explain to us about. Why what are we going to be believing if now this is different from what they presented, the figures, the targets, you know, that's what they have to explain tomorrow to us. And it is true that, you know, the most report that really give us a sense of understanding is what has been worked out by the researchers. Mm-hmm. Because this is now really confusing, because if a month later the information now is different from the previous one, it even now gives us, you know, more doubts to say, do you know what you are doing?
Sorry, I'm going to close now, but, you know, it really raises the question. It means they submit these documents to the Auditor General. They're going to submit the same type of documents, for example, to the Auditor General as well when it comes to, you know, and if this is the type of reporting that they are willing to give to us, their oversight body, then, you know, it really, for me, it's not just the issue of giving us wrong information. It just means that they're not knowing what they're doing. And once they give that to the Auditor General when it comes to that time, we're gonna have a serious problem. Exactly. You know, and it's the minister who comes here and tells us every time that things are improving. But I'm wondering, when we can't do reports, how do we run a department? And I think, I'm not saying this, you know, in a disrespectful manner. I'm saying this in a manner that is really a cause for alarm.
Chairperson, I cannot agree more. If I can take you back to the day when the question was asked, remember when we alerted, when I alerted the committee to the $25 million that was spent on retrenchment packages or something like that, and $14 million on bonuses, which I feel this department should never have bonuses, performance bonuses, because they are not performing, they are really not performing. In the past 4 years, I cannot, and I'm not skeptical, I'm not negative. But they are not performing. You know, in the National Assembly, the minister could just come up and say, it was a printing error. And I called the auditor's office and I said, how can this be a printing error? The amounts and your budget is still balancing. So they said, no, it cannot happen. Mm. Something like that cannot happen. So we, elke keer is ons nog mislei. They are not telling the truth to this committee. And eventually, ek gaan nie sink saam met hierdie mense nie. Because rare of our, I am alerting this committee and I'm making notes of every time when I warn and when I try to plus a brief mention, like on so maak and so maak, many times, and I was always and I'm saying this with great respect. It is, we don't know what each other knows in this committee. And I always do my homework. And that is why I'm trying to safeguard this committee. Luister, as ons toch praat. It will be good for the researchers to work through their documents, because they are working on facts, that kind of you see. And alert us, each of them can go through their documents that they have drawn up. But let's work from the oversight report. Daarin gaan ons soveel goed kan vasvat.
Oh,
you know, I'm even lost now. Did you have you completed your
but it's not very long, because I tried to keep it as simple as I could, because it seems like there's a lot of information, but there's actually
not.
I think
this will assist us in engaging with them tomorrow. This is what we need from you, just to engage with them tomorrow. And can we take a break, or can Honourable Ngumalo, do you want to come and sit there so that I can? I'm coming back just now. Oh, members, can we take the 15 minute break? 15.
I don't think I'm going to think about it.
Okay.